Good afternoon, Wealthy Web Writers. I'm Heather Robson, Managing Editor of Wealthy Web Writer, and I'm pleased that you are joining us for today's reality blog update, a live interview with our reality blogger, Andrew Murray. And today is actually a little extra special because we are also being joined by Nick Usborne, one of the pioneers of web writing and also the creator of the Money Making Websites program that Andrew is using to guide his reality blog journey this year. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Happy to be here.
All right. So kind of the approach we're going to take is I'm going to start, Andrew, by asking you just a few questions to kind of bring our listeners up to date on where you are at in your journey. And then I'm going to hand the questioning hat, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to hand things off to you so that you can then ask Nick your questions about growing your money-making website. Does that sound good to everyone?
It does. Sounds perfect.
All right. So, Andrew, this is our first live update with you as the Wealthy Web Writers reality blogger, and I thought we'd start by just getting to know you a little bit first. So can you tell us a little bit about what made you decide to become a writer?
Okay, well, I've always loved writing. I ended up in actually, and I'm also mechanically minded, so I ended up following the mechanical course into mechanical engineering. So I pursued that and worked myself for quite a few years in the engineering field. And then I was looking, probably about 2009, 2010, I was looking for a way to earn an income on the road because my wife and I had decided we were going to travel full-time when the kids had finished school. And I came across the AWAI course, Can You Write a Letter Like This?, the one that most people probably have heard about, and thought, well, this sounds interesting, and started to investigate it a bit further, and it's led from there, really. So it's a complete change of direction for me. I'm one of those rare engineering people who can actually write. So there aren't many of us around.
I have a degree in physics, so I can relate.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes.
What are the chances, the two of us on a call?
Yeah. It's quite different. It's different, but it's not, I guess. You'd probably agree with this, Heather. I think the scientific training helps you think logically, I guess, helps you step through things like the process of writing, persuasive writing, and all that sort of thing. So that pretty well what led me to be a writer was I was looking for an alternative. I was looking for something, a way to earn an income on the road.
And how long have you and your wife been traveling full time?
Full time, just over 12 months, about 12 months and 1 week now. But we started way back in 2006. We did several shorter trips, like 3 week trips, to different places in Australia with the children and with friends. We'd pack our 4x4 and our camper trailer or tent trailer, I think they call them in America. And head off into the middle of nowhere for 3 weeks and, you know, drive pretty well non-stop and see the country. So that really, those short trips really got us keen on travelling long-term. And then 2010, we rented out our house and for a whole lot of reasons, we rented out the house and packed everything up and took off on the road for 12 months with the kids. And that was that was life-changing. It really was. It was another... It changed our priorities. We realised all the small day-to-day things really don't matter. Completely changed our priorities, and my wife Peter and I realised that that was the life we wanted. So after we came back from that trip, we planned, and we've been planning since 2010. Planning and madly saving, and we were determined to get on the road full time, one way or another, and we've done it. So it's pretty exciting.
That is really exciting.
Yeah.
So living on the road, what does your ideal day look like? I actually imagine you have like a variety of different kinds of ideal days.
Yes. It's the first thing that came into my mind was my is driving through the desert, driving through the middle of nowhere. And you may not have seen anyone else or any other car for a day or 2 days. You're extremely remote. You know, that you can be literally, 400 or 500 miles from somewhere and there's no one around. It's just the solitude, the peace and quiet, and just being out there. That's the ideal day. And then we pull up somewhere to stop overnight, and we're in the middle of nowhere, and we find a little tree or a little shrub that gives us a tiny amount of shade, and set up there, and it's just the two of us sitting there in the middle of nowhere. And it's just fantastic. That's my ideal day. There's no doubt.
That sounds pretty amazing.
It is.
So can you tell us a little bit what it is like working and writing on the road?
It can be difficult. It can be difficult. It sounds, I'm not complaining by any stretch of the imagination, but... I think the hardest thing is to focus on, I need to do this with writing, I need to do these two things, and I need to do them by this date, and that's fine. But when you're moving a lot like we tend to do, you really have to stop somewhere and find time to actually get the writing done. It's very easy to get distracted and go, I'll do it tomorrow. And put it off. It's fantastic. And we can choose where we stop and when we stop and that sort of thing. The only caution is to stay focused and concentrate on actually getting the work done.
I think that ends up being a struggle, whether you're living on the road or living a more traditional lifestyle. That being said, what are some of your favorite productivity tips or methods of staying focused?
Yeah, probably the biggest thing is I'm probably a little bit obsessive. I like to get everything done now. And... for example, we've been stopped where we are for a couple of weeks, and I've got a lot of things done. And as each day goes by, instead of checking off, I check things off the list, but as each day goes by, I tend to accumulate more and more and more and more things to do. And by the end of the day, my head's racing. When I get to that point, you just have to stop and just choose one on the list and do it and get it done. That's a big one for me, because there are always a million things to do. If you don't do one of them, you'll get none of them done. And just do them one by one. The other thing is, and I think it might have been, was it Will Newman a few years ago, used to write for the Golden Thread, I think. He came up with a list of things you have to do that you don't want to do. His philosophy was to pick one and just do it, and that's what I try to stick to. There's always that list of things that you put off and you put off for months and months and months. It might be, I don't know, changing the header image on your website or something like that. You really don't want to do it. You just have to do it sooner or later. That's a good way to get things done. You pick one thing you don't want to do, even if it's just one a week, and you just get them done, because the job's never as bad as what you think it is once you get started. The other one that's a big one is, especially being on the road, is to use something to write with that's handy to use. What I mean by that is, up until recently, I was using a MacBook Pro, and it's stored away in the truck and it's safely secured away in a cupboard. But it's not easy to get out. Open it up and use it. So there'd be times when I'd be sitting somewhere and thinking, I really need to write, you know, this article, and it's too hard to get it out of the truck. I'll do it tomorrow. What I've done is, and this has actually made a huge difference, is I now actually write everything on my iPad because it's just so convenient. It's beside me all the time. If I have an article idea, I'll just pick it up and add it to the list. If I'm writing an article, same thing. I'll just pick it up and sit in the chair and write with it. I don't have to worry about charging it. Well, you know, I don't need 240 volts to charge it. It's just easy to use. That's probably the biggest productivity tip.
That's a good one. So I know you've covered this a little bit already in your reality blog issues, but can you tell us a little bit about your money-making website and about your big goals for that site this year?
Okay, yeah. Right. Our money-making website is about outback and remote travel in Australia, and we do product reviews and we do reviews and articles about places we go to, destinations. It's interesting, most people hear what we do and say, oh, you're doing a travel blog, and we always say, no, we're not. We're actually writing in-depth information on destinations, which to me is quite a different thing. We're not writing about our day-to-day journey. We're writing about where we've been, information about where we've been and places to go. Now, big goals for this year are for that money-making website to provide a portion of our income. We'll also have a portion of our income coming from rent. And those two combined, the money-making website has to step up and provide an income stream enough to finance our lifestyle. The other goals for this year are to get high-value affiliates and promote them on, I'm looking at probably Facebook and Pinterest, probably more so Pinterest, and get that really working smoothly. And I'm just starting to dabble with Pinterest ads, which is an interesting exercise, and it seems to be, this early stage seems to be showing a few results. And I'm advertising an affiliate on a Pinterest ad, so that's an interesting exercise. The big one is to grow our traffic. That's interesting. When we started traveling, it spiked. Our traffic to our website spiked, went up, and plateaued, and it really hasn't changed greatly, which is curious. I'm not exactly sure why, and that's one of the things I'd like to speak to Nick about. But that's really important to grow our traffic, get more people seeing to our website, and along with that is to build our email list and to figure out how to best use the list to make money, I guess. That's probably it in summary.
Well, Nick has graciously agreed to join us today. So at this point, I'm going to hand the reins over to you, Andrew, and let you direct the conversation with Nick.
Okay. Thank you. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Andrew. I'm here.
Oh, good.
Nick, thank you for your patience.
No problem.
I was just, I have sent this to Heather, Nick, and probably right now with the website, the biggest hurdles are, for me, generating a step change in traffic, which I just spoke about.
Yep.
Increasing my email list, and the other part of that is knowing what to send to my email list without annoying them, basically, without, without sending them 1,000 promotions and sales.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to alienate them, obviously. So those three are my biggest hurdles: step change in traffic, increasing the subscriber list, and knowing what to send to my email list. Just wondering if what sort of ideas you have for the first one.
All right. I'm going to kind of jump in top level because I was poking around on your website yesterday, and
right.
I've been poking around this afternoon and while you and Heather were just chatting. And it's really interesting, one thing you said is it's not a travel blog.
Right.
And at that point, my first reaction in my mind is, that's a pity. And I'll tell you why. So I don't want to take away from your site, because as you know, from the first day I saw your site, I love it. I love what you're doing. I mean, I just love that whole thing and your truck with the top wire. I mean, there's no one else with a money-making website where they actually had the name of the website on the side of a big-ass four-wheel drive truck. I mean, perfect. Love it. But in terms of if I come to the website, so this the truck thing, this the whole idea is very compelling, like traveling through the outback. And I think if you are after a lot of traffic, then, you know, a global audience, so English-speaking audience around the world, including the U.S., I think a U.S. audience would, you know, basically, I'm not going to generalize, but hey, this is like Australia, USA is big country, and there's lots of desert, and there's lots of travel, and there's lots of this history of getting out there and traveling the country. So I think your whole thing resonates certainly with a U.S. audience and a Canadian audience.
Mm.
But I'll tell you what I'm missing when I come here, and that is you. I miss you, and I miss your wife, and I miss your kids and your dogs, if you have dogs. And I'm missing that human connection, because I think that... When you said we're not a travel blog, and I thought, that's a pity, what I was thinking in my mind's eye is people would be just so fascinated to follow this journey, and not the physical journey, the personal journey that you described to Heather about how you got into this and about how you rented your house for a year and that whole idea of getting away from it all. I mean, there's so many people who... just would feel, just love this story and the practical aspect of how you did it. And I want to see you. I want to see your face. I want to see your wife. I want to feel that I can be part of this experience. So even if I'm not there yet, or maybe I'll never even get there, to share it with you is just an adventure in itself. So that aspect, that share this adventure with a million other people is massively, massively powerful. And so when I was looking at your site yesterday, And I mean, so far my favorite bits are the pictures of the truck. I just think it's such a wonderful looking beast of a vehicle. But
that actually is popular. That part of it is really
popular.
It's
amazing. It's a wonderful looking beast. And you got some great photographs. But so if I go to the home page and it's the beaten track, it's Australia, there's the track, and I scroll down and there are so many, there are all these links, and there are blue hyperlinks, and then the orange button links. And I've got on that homepage, what have I got, 20, 30 different places I could go to. And
right.
I don't want to have to figure out where I'm going to go. I want you to lead me. So it's almost like if the lead story, if when I came in here, this was the adventure that, you know, introduced me to you and to your wife and to your family and to your dogs or whatever you've got. Say, here we are, here's our adventure, here's how we did it, here's what we're doing. And then it's almost like, oh, and by the way, off to the side, here's the mechanical bit, here's the reviews of places we've been to. But the most compelling piece will always be the human story. It's always
wow.
That's what people are fascinated by. And particularly, people are, because, hey, 99% of us, 99.999% of us are stuck in our homes, in a traditional lifestyle, and we earn our income, we go and buy our groceries at the weekend, and we escape by watching TV, and we escape by dreaming, and we escape by dreaming of being you. You are what we're dreaming about, this idea of getting in this monster machine and traveling like for days out in the outback. And the thing is, the outback, you're in Australia, but in a sense, the true story here is not about being in Australia. This could be Arizona. It could be Manitoba or Alberta.
Yeah.
It's not about the place. It's about the adventure. It's about the human adventure. It's like this explorer. So we're gonna, you know, I want to live vicariously through you. I want to feel it. I want to see you when you scrape your knuckles changing a wheel or something. I want, and your videos, like turn some of your videos more into like vlogging, so you can turn the camera towards us. Show us when the weather is awful. Show us when the truck gets stuck. Show us when life is amazing, life when it's hard, when you break down, when things go badly and you look at the camera and it's like you're in the middle of a storm and you don't know what to do. And like now, if I can share this with you, it's like reality TV. People love this stuff. So you asked me your question. You had this three-part question about, you know, how do I get more traffic and what do I put in my newsletter? Those are kind of tactics. So that will all be taken care of, I think, with this slight shift. Now, maybe you don't want to. Maybe your wife doesn't want to. I don't know. Maybe you don't want to look into the camera. Maybe you don't want to show pictures of your dogs or whatever, or videos of getting stuck trying to cross over a river or whatever. But man, oh man, it is that the human side of this is so powerful. And what it does is it gives you a center of focus. Because like I say, at the moment when I come to the homepage, as I scroll down, I got a lot of choices. I can get to so many different places. And I have to, you're kind of asking me in a way to, hey, Nick, figure out where you want to go now. And I don't really want to figure that out. I want to just slide into the story. I want to slide into the adventure. And when I'm part of that, like when you're showing that how you finally kind of crossed the river, you forded the river and you're out the other side, and we've seen the video and the relief on your wife's face, and we're like, our hearts are racing and we're with you. Then you say, hey, look, you saw how I used the blah, blah, blah when we were halfway across. If you want to find out, you know, how that tool works, then click here. It's like so that you have the story, the adventure in the middle. And all of this other stuff, like, hey, we've just come through such and such a town. We got a whole review of that here.
Right.
So the backbone of the whole thing, the homepage, it's like a blog, it's like a vlog, it's like join us on this adventure. and all your other content comes off that. Of, hey, you may have noticed how we plug in X. Well, here's how that works. Here's how we do that wiring. You may, and then, so they've gone for 2 days of like, so hey, are you thinking like, what happens if these guys run out of gas? Well, okay, yeah, we have a satellite phone, so you can click here and learn all about, you know, how we chose this one, how it works, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
The backbone is, now, if you, like, you get that right, if you win our hearts, then you win everything. If you win our hearts with your personal story, your adventure, then I think that absolutely tackles your whole traffic thing. I think you'll get 10 times the traffic, 100 times the traffic. You'll get sponsors. You'll get companies saying, "Never mind that satellite phone. Can you try ours out? Never mind such and such. Try this one out."
Okay.
All right, what, you're still using that old drone? You should be using this new drone. And that, things like the sponsorship and the advertising, it all follows on the traffic. And, you know, there's lots of little technical things one can do to increase traffic, but none of those are going to be as strong as if, yeah, at the moment you're after my mind. What I'm suggesting is you go after my heart. Because you're tapping into this, and I don't know Australia or Australians very well, but I do know that for the North American audience, this is the dream. This is what Harley Davidson's are for. This is what RVs are for. This is what Highway 66 is for. This is what traveling coast to coast is all about. This is the adventure that everyone in North America wants to take. And for whatever reason, they can't or they don't. And so they want to live vicariously through you. And your adventure is almost like supersized because you don't have a regular truck. You don't have a regular RV. You have this freakishly beautiful monster. I don't even know what that vehicle is. But, you know, every vehicle buff on the planet is going to love it because it's such a beast. And the Australian outback is so huge. It is so big. It's like all, you know, the idea of being able to supersize Arizona is like mind blowing to an American audience because Arizona is big enough for most Americans, and then you got the Australian outback. It's just this vast space. And I think you could take this to, I'll use a cliche, a whole another level.
Okay, so
Heather,
just because as Nick was talking, one of the things that I was thinking about is, yes, everybody's going to want to see the adventure. There are also going to be some people that are going to want you to do, like, some flashbacks to, you know, what did it take to figure out, you know, how to put your finances together initially so you could do this, or what went into, you know, all the planning. And you wouldn't want to do too many posts like that, but occasionally people are going to be wondering, how do I make this happen for me? Like, the most of the people are going to be along for the ride. And like Nick said, they're going to be fulfilling their dream by watching kind of vicariously through you. But there is going to be another set of the audience that's going to be like, I need to understand how I do this. What were the things that you had to think about that I don't even know I need to think about in order to make this happen in my life?
Right. And the practical things of how do I leave my home? What does this mean for like health insurance or banking? All the practicalities of everything. How do you make this work financially? How do you, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes.
So there's lots of how to. This is such a visual thing. It's such an emotional thing. Because the more you and your wife can be the center of this and share it as a personal event. Hey, just look at a reality TV show. That's what people love. You are a reality TV show. That's what you can do with this. And it's a huge, big adventure with a big-ass truck in this huge country. It's perfect. I'm going to invest. I'll invest. I'm investing in Top Wire Traveler.
good. yes, that makes perfect sense. I'll have to get a haircut.
No, you don't. If you look like some vagabond, so much the better. That's part
okay,
of it.
Okay, well, I'm okay then. I won't get a haircut.
Yeah, hey, there's so many, like, how do you guys wash your clothes? Show us, like, what's your routine? Like, what do you do? Have you got a shower rigged up there? Where do you get the water for this? All these little minutiae of your daily lives. People are they want to see this. They want to see this. And if you look a bit scruffy, it's, hey, this is the part of the freedom that we have. No one's judging.
Okay.
You talked earlier when you were talking with Heather about it's been eye-opening and mind-blowing because all of a sudden you realize all the little things don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
All right? That, like a series of video posts on, share that. People love that. And the fact that you haven't had your hair cut is, you know what, is one of the little things I don't have to worry about what people think of me when I go into town. Or I don't have to worry what the neighbor thinks if my grass hasn't been cut or if my hair hasn't been cut. It's like,
So
all these little things, and like you say, when you say this is, you realize how unimportant so many little things are. And people will just be screaming inside, I know, I agree. Tell us, share us, give me the secret of how I can do this too.
Huh. Yeah, well, I honestly hadn't thought of it in that way. I really hadn't. I realize our faces aren't there enough, definitely.
You know, it's because you're an engineer. That's your problem, Andrew.
It is. That's exactly right. Stay in the background, do your job, get it done.
Yeah, so hang on about. I got to find you. I just see like these tiny little, I'm looking for pictures, hang on up. Am I going to find you on the About page?
Yes.
Hang on. There's more to life than what indeed there is. Look, there you are. You see? Perfect. Perfect. You know what vlogging is, right? It's video blogging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, can you imagine a daily vlog? So you've got stuff on YouTube now, but again, that's transformed if you do a daily vlog, where you're talking to camera and saying, okay, here's where we are today, here's what we're doing. Or otherwise, hey, people wrote in last week in the comments that they really wanted to see how I did such and such with the truck, or they want a tour inside the truck, or, man, you could come up with stuff. You could vlog daily, or you can vlog three times a week or once a week, whatever, but bring yourself and your wife into the, look, you haven't shaved. It's perfect. It's the freedom of being out there. And it's like you're not, hey, so a lot of people in North America, and Heather, tell me if you disagree, like get into this, like the RV freedom thing, like when they're retired in their 60s.
Mm.
Oh, absolutely. The RV movement in the U.S. is huge. And there's a whole, there's the RV movement, and then I'm part of the backpacker movement.
Right.
We have,
so you, how old are you, Andrew?
I'm 53.
You're 53?
Yeah.
So yeah, but you look younger in the picture. Did you take that 20 years ago, or is that you today?
No, I actually, I look younger than what I am, a little bit.
All right.
Not much,
so,
a little bit.
So that's another advantage. So you're a good-looking couple. You don't look like you're 65 or 70.
Yeah.
Which again, is that, hey, have you not seen all the blogs and vlogs online about couples in their 40s who've retired and they travel the world and they have like a zillion followers and subscribers, because everyone wants that. Everyone
definitely
wants to be able to retire and travel the world when they're 40. How do
that
do it?
Okay. And that's, I mean, I was looking at I know exactly what you mean. I was looking at a YouTube video yesterday of a couple who would be mid-30s and who are sailing around the world. And the video was basically about, same sort of thing, storm coming and how they prepared for it.
Right. So
and,
it's like, that whole, what did I call it, reality TV thing. And particularly, like, you're still, like, young enough, it's like you're, you're not retired. You've just made this bold choice to leave behind the regular traditional life. And yeah, like I say, it's what everyone dreams of.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So that would be, and this is my engineering mind, I guess, but the mechanics of that would be, basically the homepage would be a blog page, wouldn't it? Like
it'd be a blog, and sometimes it'd be maybe a video, sometimes it'd be pictures. I mean, you can do it all video if you want. But yeah, I think the homepage becomes the story of, like, follow us on our adventure.
Okay. And then as you say...
And what you do is, you've got the ask a question thing, and you keep that alive so that you've got this continuous feedback loop of, so you can talk to camera and say, hey, a whole bunch of people have asked us X.
Yeah.
Like, or a whole bunch of people have asked us whatever. And so you've got this feedback loop, and people feel then they're becoming part of this adventure themselves.
Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah?
I can certainly see the potential. There's no doubt.
So when you make your first million off the website, you can invite my wife and I out for a trip in the monster truck.
We'll buy you one, Nick, and we'll send it over.
But yeah, I honestly, like, I've always loved this, but I've never... So thank you, Heather, for bringing us together and thinking about this, because I've looked at the website. I saw it the early days when you built it. I've always loved what you're doing, but I've never, until you started talking, when you were talking with Heather, it was just firing stuff off in my mind. And it's the first time I realized, well, hang on, this is why I'm having trouble getting into this, because it's about the mechanics and it's not about the adventure. It's not about Murray, you know, it's not about you. It's not about Andrew and his wife.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah.
I've got you, your engineering mind. You got a couple of things here you need to update. Your Google Plus icons, get rid of that. Google Plus is no longer with us. Little housekeeping, housekeeping for you. In the left-hand side, you say connect with us, and you've got Facebook, Twitter, and then you have StumbleUpon. StumbleUpon is no longer with us.
Ah, yes.
It's redirecting to Mix, but you should swap that out for the Mix logo.
Yes.
This is like, with my sites, it's always such a pain in the butt keeping up with all the little mechanics of stuff like this.
It is. It is.
So you have some affiliate links here?
On the homepage?
Anywhere on your site?
Yes, definitely.
Where is your? I'm just getting into nitty gritty stuff now. Where is your affiliate declaration like?
On the page that the affiliate links on, I have it at the end. I'll say this article contains an affiliate link to Amazon.com whatever.
So one of the things I've done recently with Coffee Detective, it's not on the home page, but it's on most of the interior pages. In fact, it automatically inserts into every new page I create, is I have the affiliate declaration. Hang on a sec. Let me just find this and say I can tell you exactly what it says. The rules on that are like changing, right? How transparent you have to be in terms of declaring. And the new rule is, it actually is part of the original rule. They're just enforcing it a bit more now, is that they ask you to actually include the declaration at the before the content. So I've got a page here, like I'm going to one of my review pages on Coffee Detective. I've got a headline, I've got an image. But then before I get into the body text, I just have note: as an Amazon associate, I earn from qualifying purchases.
Yes, okay, I can see
That's just one line, but it's a new, this law has been around for years, and Amazon reached out to me a while back and said, hey, make sure you're doing the right thing. And the right thing, apparently, I used to have the declaration actually just on one page, like on my privacy page or whatever. And they said, no, that's not good enough. And no, it's not good enough to have the declaration at the end of the page because people will have clicked on links before then. So you have to put it higher up on the page. So if you get a Coffee Detective and most of the, not the home page, but most of the interior pages, you'll see right under the image or the first image or video, I have this little note. I just have it basically it automatically inserts into every new page now.
Yes.
So that's another small housekeeping thing just to be aware of because it's a pain. But that's all little stuff. And in terms of your newsletter, your newsletter, I think ultimately, like if you're doing more active blogging and vlogging, your newsletter is basically it's almost like a what we've been doing this week or what we've been doing the last couple of weeks with is basically I'd think just a collection of links back to your blog post so that for people who don't follow the blog itself, you can send them, it's basically just a reminder of here's what's been happening. But sure, it's good to build up that list.
Okay. When you say newsletter, what I'm actually doing right now is sending an auto-generated email once a week, or whenever articles are published, which is once a week. When there are new articles, every Friday it collects the new articles and
sends them out. What email are you using? What email service provider?
MailChimp.
All right. Gotcha. So, yeah, yes. Okay, you can do that for sure. And certainly certainly, while you're working on other stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. So as a placeholder, great. Once you get into the whole kind of reality kind of blogging thing of Follow Our Life, you may find more, I don't know, sort of compelling or interesting or timely ways to use that list.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Probably I should have told you the reason I did it that way was to have a have consistency because there may be, there are times when we'll have no internet connection at all.
Gotcha.
And sometimes it's impossible to be in a certain place on a certain date because the distances are too great. So I sort of thought that was a good compromise, and I've gone backwards and forwards between just maintaining that and having a newsletter. Newsletter really couldn't be weekly; it would have to be monthly.
I think you could make for what you're doing kind of a non-predictable approach actually really work. When people sign up, you can just let them know, hey, I'm in the outback. I am sometimes well away from the internet connection, and I want to send you a message. You know, the messages I send out come personally. I'm letting you know kind of what I'm up to and what's been happening and what's been posted recently, but you really have to watch carefully for them because they don't come out on a set day. They come out when I have internet access. And it kind of adds to the dream.
Yep. And then once you're back, once you've got access again, then you can give them, you can say, okay, just to catch up. And you can upload all the kind of, because while you're away, you're still writing, you're still doing the video clips.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you follow, like, any vloggers on YouTube?
No, I don't. No.
Do a search on YouTube for travel vloggers.
Okay.
And search for it on YouTube, travel vloggers. Just poke around and look at what other people. I'm not saying that they're doing exactly what you should do, but just look at it for ideas of how those people are doing it. Because by the nature of what you're doing is super, super visual, right? You're moving, you're going places, you're exploring. So photography, yes, but video, yes, as well. And the video is super important in terms of capturing the human emotion. Like you and your wife, and maybe it's something as gentle as a sunset or a sunrise, maybe it's something as crazy as a massive storm that threatens to sweep your truck away, and there's the drama for you. But video is really, really good at capturing those human elements, those human moments.
Okay. And you think they would be best on YouTube rather than Facebook?
I would create the video. I would you can publish it to YouTube and to Facebook, but like separately,
right,
because Facebook doesn't like it when you upload a YouTube video.
So you
publish it separately, but then you can also what I do just say with my coffee site is I create the video, I upload it to YouTube because I want that traffic and exposure. And
right,
then I embed the YouTube video on my website.
Right.
So the video is within my website as well, so people can find it there.
Yeah.
But mostly with videos, what I'm interested in is actually getting in front of a whole different audience. Because I've had close to 2 million people see my coffee videos on YouTube. So that's
wow,
almost 2 million people who would never really have probably never heard of Coffee Detective unless they'd come across me through YouTube. YouTube's
yeah,
a super
yeah,
good platform for me because I do coffee equipment reviews, so I'm showing stuff, I'm demonstrating stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can like exploring the outback in Australia. I mean, you've got so many kind of how-to things you can share with people.
Yes.
Whether it's as mundane as washing your clothes, or whether it's dramatic as changing a big ass tire in a storm.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, 100%, 100% right. Yeah, it's a whole other group of content that I hadn't really. I haven't thought it through. Yes,
I think
okay,
it could be like if you and your wife were comfortable doing that, like stepping out from behind the curtain and turning it into a human story, then I think it could make a dramatic difference to, you know, how many people hear about your site and follow your site. I think it could have a huge impact on your traffic.
Yeah, okay.
And like I say, when you've made your first million, I want an invitation to come out and visit.
Done.
Kind of approaching the top of our hour. Andrew, any last questions for Nick before we tie up?
Or for Heather.
Well, I think you've both covered the email. Excuse me. What am I trying to say here? The monthly newsletter versus a weekly email summary. Actually, there is one quick question for Nick or Heather. With Google Plus shutting down, now, one of your tips, Nick, way back at the start was to, whenever you post something, whack it onto Google Plus
right,
and you'll be indexed. And yes, that 100%, I've seen that happen as well. There's no doubt.
Right.
With Google Plus disappearing, do you know of any other options?
Heather can answer as well. I just, instead of getting a Google Plus, I just throw it up onto Facebook because, maybe it'll take 10 minutes later to be indexed. But
oh, really?
So long as you get that URL, that link out into a major platform, like, hey, and YouTube would be even better because, of course, it's owned by Google. So if it was a video, if it was a page with video and the video appeared on YouTube and you had the link to the page in the description under the video on YouTube,
of course,
then boom, Google's going to find that instantly. But they'll find it through Facebook as well.
I used to use
Google Plus as the fast entry into the indexing system, but it's not a massive loss. You can, I mean, Google's still going to find you so long as you create a link out there somewhere. and preferably on a well-trafficked site like Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or whatever.
Right. Yes. Okay. Now that that makes sense, of course. Yeah. Okay. And the other, probably the only other question quickly is older. I know the website's really only a couple of years old, but older articles that I first wrote. Do you see, either of you see any benefit in going back through and I don't know, updating them, tidying them up?
I think you can, if you've got, sometimes what I'll do, and I think what you might want to do, is go back through that older stuff and say, hey, how do I repurpose, not the like what you were talking about in that early post is like we were writing about X, and maybe use that to create a new piece of content. Like basically, here's the updated version of that. And maybe back then it was just print. Now maybe it's with pictures. Now maybe it's with video. And right. you can speak to camera and say, hey guys, we wrote like 5 years ago about X, and we think it's time to revisit that. So you can actually take a piece of blog an article from 5 years ago. You can speak to it on video and say, look, we were talking about this 5 years ago, but hey, stuff's changed, so we thought we'd revisit, we're going to talk about blah, 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 and then you create just a kind of fresh version of that. Heather, what do you think?
I like that approach. Google is starting to pay more attention to whether or not you go back through your older content and update it, and so if you do have things, and you want to focus on your most popular posts there, your most traffic posts, because that's going to be the most leverage. But if you have things that have changed or something's not accurate or you would do something a different way, having a kind of a tag at the top that says, we updated this, or this post was originally published on such and such and we updated it on such and such, and then changing the publishing date when you updated it, that makes Google happy.
Okay. Okay. No, good.
Yeah, good point.
Excellent.
Hey, you can do both. You can update the original version in place, but then also use it as a jumping off point to you know, revisit the whole topic 5 years later, because something has probably changed.
Yes.
Yeah,
well,
and if you're focused in on your most popular topics, that's going to get you, you know, good traffic, good feels from your audience.
Right. Okay. Okay. Excellent. What was the last question? Oh, it's completely gone out of my head. Can't be too important. Yes. So right now, I've been writing two articles a week, adding to the site. There are about 215, 220 pages. So that can sit there happily doing its thing. If I focus on, I'm just thinking about what you said, Nick, about turning it more into a blog and a vlog, I don't really need to add too much to them. I mean, obviously I'll keep adding content, but I can concentrate on items more related to what you're talking about, the human side, without worrying too much about adding other content about destinations and so forth at this point. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I do. I agree. And there's one final point I would make, is that in terms of the storytelling of you and your wife, like this reality TV thing. This is not about make it so it has equal appeal whether I'm Australian or Canadian or American.
Yeah.
It's the adventure. It's not at the specific location. This isn't just for Australian audience. This can be just as exciting for an American audience so long as you don't make it just about Australia. As long as you make it about the personal adventure, the personal challenge, the personal discovery. It's about you and your wife, two people. So the place, hey, there's certain parts of your content will be specific to place. But I think that the heart and soul of the site needs to be just about you, about people on an adventure, so people can share in that, whether they're Australian, American, Canadian, British, whatever.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I've got some work to do.
You got some fun to have.
some work you're excited about, though.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Before we go, I do want to, for our listeners, ask Nick to talk very briefly about the money-making website program that we've kind of been talking about. Obviously, we've been talking about Andrew's site and the adventure and how to make that everything that it can be. But, Nick, you've kind of written the program on this topic, the money-making websites
right.
program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, basically, it's the kind of how-to guide for, like in my case, my thing was writing about coffee. So my site's been up there for 13 years now, my coffee website. So it's really kind of embedded. It's part of my life. Actually, I had a couple of days ago, another coffee maker appeared at my front door for us to review. So I got to do a video of that in a few days. So whatever it is, whether it's me with coffee, whether it's Andrew with traveling the outback of Australia, whether your personal interest is in gardening or embroidery or kayaking or whatever it is, we all have somewhere a hobby, a passion, an interest that we could share with others. And people love that. They love it when individuals, whether it's me and coffee or Andrew and travel, people love it when they can share the experience with another person like them. So, you know, there's big media companies out there that publish information, and that's fine, but it's not the same as, like, the expert next door. So the program, what I created and what Andrew took, and I based it on my experience with my coffee website, is basically a step-by-step how-to, you know, how to come up with a topic, how to choose a platform that you are going to publish your website on, how to create the content, how to attract that traffic, how once you've built up an audience, how to monetize that traffic. So these are all things that Andrew and I have been kind of touching on over the last hour. And if you want to do something like Andrew does, if you want to do something like I do with my Coffee Detective site or anything in between, like I said, the Money Making Website program is that how-to step-by-step guide. And in fact, we do. There's the course materials itself, but then we also do this series of webinars where I kind of personally walk you through the whole process from beginning to end. And in fact, in week 7, we actually look at brand new, fresh websites that people taking the course have created and published. So it's amazing. I always love that.
Very nice. And right now, for anyone listening to this call, if you go to the event page, you'll have to give me 5 minutes. But if you give me 5 minutes, if you go to the event page where you found the number to dial in, you can click a link and actually save $150 on that program. That's a heck of a
Excellent.
Deal. All right, well, Nick, Andrew, this was fun. Thank you guys both for being here today. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well.
So, Andrew, you got my email address just from copied with Heather and stuff. When you get something like new up there, if you start, just show me, all right? I really want to see what you do.
Okay, will do. Great. Thanks, Nick.
You're welcome.
That would be excellent. Thanks,
thanks
for your input. It's fantastic. It's always very difficult to look at it with fresh eyes when you're right in the middle
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right. And I do. Yeah. I have a buddy who once a month we get on the phone together to look at each other's business for exactly the same reason. You get it's really hard to be objective and to see what's happening when it's right in front of your nose every day. So we actually do this once a month. We have a phone call, for exactly that reason, so we can help each other see stuff that we otherwise might not have seen.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. And, it's fantastic. Thanks, Nick, and thanks, Heather. It's been fun.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have such a good week.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
You too.
Bye. Thanks, Heather. Bye, Andrew.
Bye.